John 1. Glad I've been to Calvary, amen. Thought we were done after that last song, and Raleigh looked at me and he said, I think they need to sing I've Been to Calvary. And I said, I think they need to sing it too, because I'm glad I've been there. John 1. Let's all stand. Let's stretch your legs for a minute. I taught you this little chorus during the youth revival, and some of you may remember it, and you can help the other ones learn it too. And I want you to sing with me. It goes like this. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. We'll sing it again. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I've got a thought on my heart today that I've had in there for weeks for today. God knew who all would be here today. So I want to share it with you the best I can today. And you follow along in John chapter 1 and verse number, verse number 9. That was the true light, talking about Jesus Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And if the Lord will help me for just a few minutes this morning, I want to preach on this very simple thought, the best day of my life. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for the privilege of being here today. God, I ask for your help. I thank you for those that are here faithfully attending church today. I pray if there's anyone here today that does not know you, has not experienced the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I pray that they would experience that today in a way that only you can lead them to do so. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. There's a phrase found in verse number 12 that has stuck out to me. So look in your Bible at verse number 12. And if you're used to marking in your Bible with a pen, you can underline the phrase, to them gave he power. Now, this message is for everybody here today. But there may be some of you that need this in a very special way today. I don't know. I can't peer into your soul, and I'm thankful that I can't, because if I could peer into your soul and you could look into my soul, we'd probably be pretty upset as to some of the things that folks are hiding these days. I don't have the ability. Some of y'all are real tight right now. We need some banana pudding or something. Amen. Some of y'all are real tight right now. Try to take a deep breath and loosen up a little bit. There are things that I don't have the power to do. There are things that I don't have the knowledge to do. And even as a human being, as a natural person, there are things that I'm completely restricted in doing. And one of those things I'm completely restricted in is the ability to do right all the time. As a human, my body was created out of dirt. Your body was created out of dirt. And Tim mentioned it this morning, it would be embarrassing for us to believe the nonsense that the evolutionists are trying to get our young people to believe today. I hope that if your children are taught by an evolutionist that you reverse that when they come home and correct that. Because they need to know that they came from a God that said, let there be light on day one. And on day six, He created people. And that's what the Bible says, and I believe it. I got more evidence to prove that than I do have evidence to say that I came from a whale. I may look like a whale, but I did not come from a whale. That's a little better. Wonderful. So when you see this phrase that I want you to underline, to them gave He power, here's what I want you to know about it. Before I got saved, before I was born again 32 years ago, 33 years ago, before I was born again, I did not have the ability to become a son of God. I didn't have that ability. There are religions out there today that will tell you that everybody is a child of God and everybody's a son of God and we're all part of one big happy family and that heaven is a wonderful place and we're all going there. We're just, some of us are going different ways than others. No, there's, Jesus made it very clear in John 14. He said, I am, say it with me, the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one road to heaven. I mean, we ought to know that by now. If you're here today and you don't know that, I'm telling you, there's only one way to get there. I'm glad I'm on that path. Amen. Does that mean I'm sinless? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, we're told in our Bibles that when we sin or if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. When I mess up, if I tell a story that's not true, or if I see something and dwell on that in my head that I ought not to, if I listen to something that God doesn't want me to, there is an advocate in heaven, there is a lawyer, an attorney, a help for us, that when we make a mistake, Jesus Christ looks at God the Father and tells Him that we're forgiven. And that we're clean. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And thank God I have that blood applied to my life. It is permanently and eternally applied. And nobody can ever change that. So I said I was preaching on the best day of my life. You'll know about the best day of my life. I'm going to tell you, I've had four or five really, really good days. Four or five really, really good days. I mean, I remember the day I got saved was a great day. I mean, 33 years ago on a Wednesday night, And then Harold Ray got done preaching, and y'all have heard the story. We got in the car, went home, and I got saved at home that night after church. It was a great day in my life. I remember when God started dealing with me about being a preacher and how that I felt like He wanted me to be a preacher. And I remember God dealing me about that. I remember getting up in church at the age of 12 and telling my church that God wanted me to preach. And I can remember even where the sun was coming from. We were sitting in the about two-thirds of the way back, and I was sitting next to a guy named Little John, and he was the exact opposite from Little. He's a huge boy, but we called him Little John. And the sun was coming in the right side of the building. And I can remember that. It was a great day in my life. I remember the first time I ever laid my eyes on my bride at Lake James and Mary, and she was walking down the hill, and I thought, good Lord have mercy, Eve has come out of the grave and is walking down the hill, the perfect woman. Amen. And I remember the day that the back doors of Georgetown Baptist Church opened and she walked down the aisle. That was a great day in my life. I remember the first child that we had born. You know that there's a zero return policy on children? Take every hospital receipt you want to in there and lay it all down, and they will, 30 days or not, they ain't taking them back. Once they're born, it's a done deal. So you better think twice about it. We've got four amazing children, and all of them had different things that happened around their days of birth. I remember when Jaden was born, it was Hurricane Katrina, right? That was, and my wife went into labor with all the news and everything taking place with Hurricane Katrina and the gas prices, and that was crazy. That was when Jaden was born. I was working at the farmer's market, and she called me, and I remember jumping off the dock at the farmer's market and running to the car and driving home. The night that Mason was born, he was born not breathing. Some of you know that story about Mason. He was born not breathing. And I remember that night. I remember the afternoon that we were walking around Hendersonville when the day that Carson was born. We're trying to get things to move along, as we would say. And then I remember when Hudson was born and we had him for just a few hours and then he stopped breathing. We remember these ups and downs about life and how that there's such a beautiful day as a new child being born, and then all of a sudden you get good news or you get bad news, things happen, and there's nothing as exciting as the birth of a new child, and those were great days in my life. But the best day of my whole life is Resurrection Day. I wasn't even alive yet. As a matter of fact, I wasn't even a thought. Because my parents weren't alive, my grandparents weren't alive, my great-grandparents weren't alive. You can go back 2,000 years, you'll not probably find a Coates anywhere in the whole world. There's a bunch of them here today, but you wouldn't have found none then. Go all the way back to Resurrection Day. And in that moment when Jesus walked out of that tomb and made a tomb empty, that was the best day of my life. You say, what does it matter? Oh, that's the day. That's the day that made it possible for everybody in this room to come to know Jesus Christ personally and to go to heaven to live with Him for all of eternity. That was the best day of my life. Best day of my life. I want you to notice a few things, just three very simple things today about this verse. First thing I want you to notice is the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. Look at verse 12 again. But as many as received Him, as many as. There's no end to that. Anybody in this room can accept Jesus Christ. The worst drunkard trying to wake up out of his drunken stupor this morning can receive Jesus Christ. The worst drug addict that's pulling needles out of his arm today, he can receive Jesus Christ. The harlot that's waking up next to a man that paid her to spend the night with him can accept Jesus. There's nobody alive today. The richest man in the tallest palace can accept Jesus Christ. It all must come by the same way of Calvary. As many as received Him, the opportunity to receive Christ. I'm glad I was given that opportunity. But the terrible thing about it is that a person that's given the opportunity and that rejects that opportunity ends up with eternal condemnation in the lake of fire. And I'm so thankful. I think about it right now. In my mind, I think about that night that I got saved. I think about that moment, Ryan, when I got born again on that floor in that single white trailer. I think about that moment. What if I said no? Jeremy, what if I told God no? Where would I be today had I not accepted Jesus Christ? So we could go around the room right now and we could tell stories of life after life after life after life that was changed in the moment that you got born again. Your life was turned upside down. Your life has changed. Now, here's the interesting part about it. I had the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. After that point, I have a power now that I didn't have before. Now, is it a power? I wish I had the power to get rid of traffic. Can I get an amen on that? Scotty, if I could, I'd come down 26 at 4:45 on a Friday afternoon. And I would just, like Moses, parting the Red Sea. Stick a rod out the window of my car and hold it up. And just drive, what's it, 65 through there? 68? Some of y'all are pushing 78. It's wide open down through there. Hey, man, listening to the Primitive Quartet. I probably should listen to somebody singing Near My God to Thee or something, because you're going to get killed doing that. I mean, I wish I had the ability to park traffic. I wish I had the ability to go to the hospital right now, walk into the emergency room, say a few words, and bring everybody out of there. By the way, all these insane faith healers on TV, if they're really that good at what they do, they ought to take at least one day a week and find a hospital and go in there and heal everybody in that whole place. Don't you believe that nonsense? It's a bunch of garbage. If I had that ability, I would love to go in there and do that, but I don't have that ability. The power that I received when I got born again was way more important than the power to walk in and heal a man of cancer, although I wish I could, or to park traffic when it's bumper to bumper for my... I wish I could. I don't have that kind of power. But I tell you what kind of power I got now, Tucker Brown. I have the power to stare, listen to me, to stare at the old devil in the face, or sin, or worldliness, or the flesh, and say no. Before I got saved, I didn't have that power. You understand? I didn't have that power. You can say, I'm trying to do better. I want to do better. I'm trying my best to do better. I want to do better. There ain't no power to do better. A lost drunkard wants to quit drinking, and they go through all these classes and courses and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and some of them make it for years and years. And then I had a friend, oh, he's dead and gone. He took his own life 2 years ago. If I said his name, some of y'all would know. I had a friend. He was a preacher. And somebody took him out and got him drunk on a Tuesday night at a birthday party, because before he was saved, he drunk all the time. And they pushed him and they pushed him and they pushed him. And they said, Mike, come drink with us. Mike, come drink with us. And he finally gave in on a Tuesday night, went out and got drunk. And from that, for probably the next 10 or 15 years, he would make it for 5 or 6 weeks, good and sober, good and clean. And then somebody would wave something under his nose, some bottle of something, or some powder, or some syringe. They'd wave that in front of him. And we'd all, when we saw each other, and he wouldn't show up for work, I said, where's Mike at? Well, he's off on a drunk. He'll be out for the next 6 weeks. You know why? Listen, this is very carefully. When you become a child of God, you are given the power to become a son of God. What you do with that is your choice. The man I was just referring to, he's been in heaven for a couple of years. He probably would have another 15 or 20 years of life to live at its fullest. But his life was destroyed by sin. Because even though he had the power to do exactly what God wanted him to do, he kept saying no, and he kept saying no, and he kept saying no. The opportunity to receive Christ is the opportunity. Hey, Matt, on that pew somewhere is my keys. You see them? Let's see. There they are. All right, so here's my keys. Is this mic on, Kanan? Can y'all hear me? Here's the keys. When I got saved, it's just like I got a handful of keys. Now, these keys are for, there's keys here for the church. There are keys on here for my house. There are keys here for the radio station. There's some pretty important keys on this ring right here. When I got saved, it's just like getting a handful of keys. And I could go over to a box, and I could open a box and have access to what was in that box because I had that key. Before I got saved, I didn't have these keys. No keys. Had no power to function as a son of God before I got saved. But now that I am saved, listen to me, I'm going to tell you something real tough. Now that I am saved, Ryan, it's my choice. It's my choice as to whether or not I do right. Before I got saved, I could try my best. I mean, every day I wanted to do right. Every day I wanted to, and the difficulty would just be harder and harder and harder. But the day I got saved, God said, here you go, son. You got the power. You can unlock every door that God has for you to open. Walk through the doors of victory. Walk through the doors of sobriety. Walk through the doors of freedom. Walk through the doors of happiness and joy. Hey, look up in here. You have a key. Jesus makes you happy, don't he, Matt? You have a key to be happy. Well, what about the virus? I know people are hurting. I know. What about the politics? God help us. We got some politicians that can hide their own Easter eggs. Can I get an amen on that? What did I do with them things? And they're running the federal government. Hey, we're in a situation right now in our country where everybody looks right around the situation. This is going bad and this is going bad. Gas is going up. Yeah, I know. I drive 50 miles one way every day. Gas is going up. Things are starting to not be as plentiful on the shelves as they used to be. My wife orders a pack of paper towels from Walmart and they're limited to one pack per customer and this kind of stuff. And you think, well, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. You got the keys. You'll never starve as a child of God. You'll never be naked as a child of God. And you have the power to carry a smile on your face when the whole world goes to pot. You know why? Because the happiness that I have is not anchored in who's running Washington. The happiness that I have is not going to be who cranks up Wall Street tomorrow morning. The happiness that I have is anchored in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that's a done deal. And if I live to be 200 years old, I'll have hope in Him. hope in Him. I got the keys. To them gave He power to become the sons of God. All right? Second thing I want you to notice about this. Not only do we have the opportunity to receive Christ, but then there's opposition. I've told y'all this. Y'all know what the opposition is. It's three things. Ready? The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. That's your opposition. So here you go. You got the keys? Get up tomorrow morning. I'll get up at 4:28. That's when my alarm goes off. And I try not to hit snooze anymore because I don't want to wake up either one of them crazy dogs. Amen. Y'all got dogs that bark when they wake up? Oh. 4:28. Get out of bed tomorrow morning. Here, I got the keys in my hand. Here's what I'm going to do. I can take them with me or I can leave them. And I can go through my day and try my best to do right and to talk right and to be right and to have happiness and to not worry and not be consumed by fear when it comes to the world, the flesh, and the devil. I can either take the keys and unlock my victory or I can leave them at the house and try it on my own tomorrow. Now here's the deal with that. 33 years ago, I didn't have that power. I didn't have the keys. My day was dictated by what the world, the flesh, and the devil threw at me. And I had no choice in the matter. But when I got saved, Jesus took a hold of my life. I'm restored to Him. Jesus Christ has the ability to turn me to the left or turn me to the right. All I have to do is say yes to Him every single day to let Him control me, to let Him guide me, and to let me steer me, or let Him steer me, or I can throw the keys. Some of y'all get a little upset over the way something goes on with a Christian friend or around the church, or you get upset with the world, the flesh, and the devil because it's getting bad, and you just get so mad, you just throw your keys. You throw them out. It says right here in this verse, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. And as a son of God, I have the power of God. But if I take that key and I throw it out, I'm throwing everything away. Some of y'all got born again or received Jesus Christ into your life, and within a short period of time, you got so frustrated with life and things and temptations were piling up by the mountain loads. I mean, mountains of temptation that you just got so angry with life that you took your keys and threw them as far as you could. Some of y'all need to ask God to fetch the keys for you. I need them keys, God. I can't get up tomorrow morning without my keys. I want to go through the day tomorrow knowing that I've got the power to walk through the day without the world, the flesh, and the devil taking me down. But so many of you, you'll leave the house tomorrow and the keys will be collecting dust on the nightstand table. Okay? Lastly, not in the world, the flesh, and the devil is our opposition, and we have the opportunity to receive Christ. But then lastly, there's the overcoming. That's the key word for today. The overcoming. The best day of my life. The best day of my life was when Jesus walked out of the tomb alive. Overcoming death, hell, and eternal damnation through His own resurrection, distributing the power to anybody that'll what? Put money in the offering plate? No. We have an offering plate, but that ain't getting you into heaven. I mean, the Lord's Supper that we'll partake tonight in the evening service, that doesn't get you to heaven. One preacher said, you can be baptized in every creek in the Appalachian Mountains till the tadpoles know your social security number. What he said. Be baptized in that many creeks and still not go to heaven. You can be baptized in the heated baptistries of the finest churches all over the world and that won't get you into heaven. You can take the bread and the grape juice, that's not going to get you into heaven. You can try your best to do good and hope that the balances at the end will weigh in and out to where you've done enough good to get into heaven, but that's not going to do the job. I tell you what does the job. That's the keys. That's the keys. And when I got born again, I tell you what, 33 years ago on that Wednesday night when I got born again at that tan-colored couch, I knelt down there to pray, and the Spirit of God came up to me, and He handed me these keys. And he said, you're going to need them for the rest of your life. You can take them with you. You can leave them. You can do whatever you want to with them. Before you got saved, you didn't have the keys. But now that you're born again, you got them. And all you, and here's how the keys work. You take the key. You got your day going. And you really need God to help you in a certain area. You've got that key that's going to help you in that area. You have to use it. How do you use it? You ask God for help. You don't have to have some magic potion. You don't have to have a special checkbook so you can write checks or a card or a chip. You don't have to have a magic potion. You don't have to have a special poem to read. All you got to have is a prayer to God that says, God, I need your help. And guess what? Peter, remember Peter walking on the water? Thank you, Lord, for reminding me of that. They were in the storm. Remember the boat? They were in the storm and they looked out and they saw Jesus walking on the water. And Peter, he cleared his throat. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said one word. What did he say? Come. Now there's all kinds of ways to look at this story. But Peter got out of that boat, started walking to Jesus on the water. He's the only other man in all of recorded history that's ever walked on top of water. He's walking on the water. The Bible says when he saw everything around him, guess what he did? Tossed his keys. Are y'all adding this up? Guess what he had to do to get the keys back? He hollered out three words. His ankles started getting wet. He knew he was going down. And guess what he said? Lord, save me! And guess what the Bible said? And immediately, that means right now, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him up out of the water. I don't even believe he got water up his nose. You may be here this morning. You're sinking. Life hates you. The world, the flesh, and the devil has attacked you. The Bible uses the word contrary to describe a tornado or winds coming from all directions. When you are experiencing contrary life, where the world is hitting you on one side, your own flesh is hitting you on one side, the devil's hitting you on another side, and Jesus is pulling at you and trying his best to get you to respond to him, guess what? I have the keys. I don't want to lay them down. Now, this overcoming, I'll read you a few verses. Don't turn here, I'm just going to read them. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Listen to what I'm fixing to say. Listen to these words. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus overcame the world. You and I can overcome the world. Romans 12:21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because, listen to what I'm fixing to say. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The world, the flesh, and the devil's pulling and pulling and pulling. But the Bible says that the one that you received into your life when you got born again, that one's great. That man, he's greater on the inside than all the world is on the outside. And he can protect you from this crazy, insane world that we're living in. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God, listen to this verse, listen to this. For whatsoever is born of God, that you're a child of God. If you got saved, listen to what it says. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You want victory over the world? Just take the keys. You got them. You have the keys. I was thinking last night, me and my wife yesterday, we made a little list. And this is not the entire list. But this is a list that will help you. There's some things that God has the ability to give you the keys to conquer. Talk about the greatest day in my life was the day that Jesus Christ came out of the grave and the Bible says he had what? He had the keys. Okay? Here's a list of things. You have the ability, when you become a child of God, to overcome mental struggles. Maybe you're here today and you just fight in your head all the time. I mean, I can't even fully understand everybody's mental struggles, but you've got them in there. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You have the key to overcome mental struggles. I wouldn't dare have you raise your hand in public right now, but I wonder how many of you, honest with yourself and honest with God, would say to God right now, I'm struggling in my mind right now. I'm struggling mentally right now. Now, you'd probably never admit that to me. I don't need you to. You'd probably never even admit that to maybe a friend or even a very close spouse. Who knows? But can you admit it to yourself? Can you say, I'm struggling in my mind right now? I begin to think about sin. And when the Bible talks about sin, it talks about everything covering the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Anything that would pull you away from God is sin. And before I got saved, I did not have the ability to overcome sin. I could try to do right and try to do right and try to do right and try. But until I took the keys, I didn't have the ability to overcome it. Sin. What about anger? Some of you here today are so angry with life right now. You have anger. If we could measure it, it would take gallons. It would fill gallons and gallons and gallons of space. To know how much anger you have on the inside of you over the way people have treated you or the way that things have gone in your life or because life has not been good to you, and that anger just grows on the inside of you like a very, very difficult thing. Hey, when you get saved, you have the power to overcome that anger. What about addiction to alcohol, to drugs, to gambling, to pornography? Before you got saved, you did not have the ability to overcome those addictions. But when you got saved, God gave you the keys. You just have to ask Him for help. What about fear? Fear of things in life and fear of death. Did you know that as a person, you don't have to have any fear today? You have the power to become a son of God. And if you're a child of the King, you don't have to be afraid of anything. You've got the keys. The past 12 to 14 months have manifested a lot of fear in a lot of people. I'm here to tell you today, Jesus has the keys. What about bitterness? Listen very carefully. What about bitterness? You're so angry on the inside with something that's happened 5 days ago or 5 years ago or 5 decades ago. You're so upset with the way life has treated you, that bitterness on the inside is no longer anger anymore. It's a poisonous bitterness. You don't enjoy going to birthday parties anymore. You don't enjoy family reunions anymore. You don't enjoy church activities anymore. You don't even enjoy getting out of the bed anymore. Bitterness. Say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I cannot get it. Oh, yes, you can. Here's the deal. When I was in high school, the basketball coach would look at us and he would say, how bad do y'all want that trophy? We want it! We want it! You're like a bunch of idiot teenage boys. We want it! We want it! Then go out there and get it. Okay, coach. My leg hurts. Coach Brett, some of y'all knew Brian Harwood. He didn't care. He sent us out to play anyway. He pushed us and he pushed us and he pushed us and he pushed us. And that's where I'm at right now. I'm pushing you. I'm giving just a little bit of a push here and saying, hey, if you want the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, I'm going to have to get behind you and tell you, I'm sorry that your leg hurts. I'm sorry that you don't feel good. I'm sorry you didn't sleep good last night. I'm sorry that you had a friend that had a problem. I'm sorry that all that happened. But if you want victory in life, you're going to have to get it. And here's the deal with that. You get saved, you got the keys, and you're hanging on to them. Some of y'all have the key to getting over bitterness right here in your hand. You've got the key in your lap. You got the key on your knees when you pray. You can ask God for help. You've got the key to unlocking a cure for bitterness, and you're letting that seep deeper into your soul, into a poison, and it will break you from the inside out. Bitterness. I got to thinking about temptation. Listen up very carefully. The world, it's got it. The world, the flesh, and the devil,
will tempt you
and tempt you and tempt. I just can't say no to the temptation. Oh, your Bible says you can say no to it. You've got the keys. You have the power to become the Son of God and to behave like that. When I got saved, I became a child of the King, but I got to behave like that. Temptation. What about hatred? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but if you're honest with yourself right now, how many of you hate somebody right now? You are so, the anger and the bitterness has turned into pure hatred. Jesus can give you the keys to overcome that hatred. What about marriage problems? Listen, listen up. What about marriage and family problems? We got any of that here today? Problems in the house, with your household or with your wife or with your husband? There's just absolutely no hope, Pastor. There's no hope. Oh, yes, you have the keys. Jesus can restore any family or any marriage that will let Him piece it back together. He can do it. Lastly, what about weaknesses? You're here today and you've just got a weakness in this area or a weakness in that area. Did you know that God has given you the keys to overcome all of that? Look at your verse again and we'll close. John chapter number 1 and verse number 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He what? That word power in the New Testament is the same word dunamis that we get the word dynamite from. Just like describing dynamite that's drilled into a mountain and dropped into holes into a mountain to blow the mountain up so they can build a highway through. That's the same word used to describe what you have in your hand when you accepted Jesus Christ. To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name.